Good morning. You're listening to Living Catholic, a local production of Divine Mercy Radio. Living Catholic is part of our Treasures of Faith series, where we explore the truth, beauty, and goodness of our Catholic faith. I'm Carolyn Dean, glad to be with you this hour on WDMC 920 AM. Today, I'm down in Palm Beach Gardens, at the Pastoral Center for the Diocese of Palm Beach, and I'm going to be speaking with two very important people. First of all is Mrs. Kim Engel, and secondly is Deacon Pete Del Valle, not in order of value, but just in order of position for our topic. We're going to be talking about a new effort to bring younger people into an experience of the Holy Spirit in their life. And Kim is the director, Kim, is that correct? Director of the school called Encounter.
Yes, I am the school campus director for the Palm Beach campus of Encounter.
We'll get all those. I know it's confusing to describe what you're doing here, but we'll get all that straightened out as we continue to talk. Kim, you are a mother of four and a fifth one on the way, or is number four on the way?
Number four is on the way.
So as Kim is sitting here in front of me, we're praying for a healthy and safe delivery for her baby, which is going to happen in a couple of days. So praise God for that. Praise God. So, Kim, how long have you been Catholic? Were you raised Catholic? Are you born Catholic? Tell us your faith story, if you don't mind.
All right. I've been Catholic ever since I remember opening my eyes. So I guess that makes me cradle Catholic. And my mother was Catholic. My grandmother was Catholic. They were the strong matriarchal leaders in the family. My mom grew up with a family of six, and unfortunately, as of right now, she's the only one practicing.
Oh, my.
But we do have, I have an uncle that's kind of come back to the faith. We've been praying for that for all of our family. So growing up with a really strong maternal grandmother to instill that faith and watching that bloom in my mom. And then, you know, as cradle Catholics, we really look at the influence of those who are practicing around us. Mm-hmm, and I think because of their practicing of the faith in such a manner that was consistent for me, even though I had my period of falling away, college, right?
As did many of us, yes.
I was able to come back.
Kim, we're all reverts in disguise.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Well, we all need some kind of conversion, I think, because, you know, even as a cradle Catholic, you're coming in, you still have to learn the faith.
How did you said you experienced their practice. How did they practice? Did they go to Mass every week, take you? Did they pray the rosary, Blessed Mother devotion? What did the practice look like that you grew up under?
With my grandmother, it was all of the above. So I remember watching her, you know, I was young when they were coming into their full conversion, even for them. They were cradle Catholics, my grandfather and my grandfather was a Baptist. My grandmother got him to convert.
Mm-hmm.
But then they grew in the faith. They went through their trials, lost a child, you know, had to have that tension with the Lord, and then came back with a fervor. So I got the benefit of seeing them in their years where they were really practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was daily Mass, rosaries in the car.
Oh,
we did lots
yes.
of road trips, and Grandma was always trying to get me to say them. And I was rolling my eyes in the back seat, not another rosary. But you know, that repetition sticks and the memory still happens. The memorization of it still happens even if you're not participating. So
it's
been a good tip for me as a parent. I still play it. But yeah. And then my mom, I think, started entering into her faith as I started growing through elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
She started realizing she needed to put down a stronger foundation for me because
wow.
I was being exposed to a lot of non-Catholic thinking.
So you didn't go to Catholic school?
No.
Yeah, okay.
But we were attending Mass. So mm-hmm. Mass was always a staple, always consistent. Rosary, our Blessed Mother on my grandmother's side for sure. My mom didn't really get into the Rosary and our Blessed Mother until later.
Mm-hmm.
I think actually more through her involvement with the Curcio community.
Ah, yes.
I saw
we'll
that
talk about
deep
that
in her
too
faith.
Shortly.
Yeah. So it's been neat to walk through parts of my conversion with her conversion. That's been a blessing. But always a consistency for Mass, always trying to point us back to the faith when we're making decisions, things like that.
I was just reading an article on The Catholic Thing by, I think it was David Carlin, professor, retired professor, and he was saying that he he listed the statistics for the Catholic Church now, and he said 50% of Catholics don't go to Mass, and of those that do, only 25% of the 50 believe that Jesus is present in the Eucharist. And he was saying we need to have a major revolution in our Catholic communities in order to reestablish that faith that people like you and me was instilled in us, and that's true, and you just believe it and you live it out, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm really excited about the Eucharistic revival that's happening this year. I think it's in the United States mostly. I don't know if it's a worldwide movement, but I think it is. Yeah, but it's so nice to see it coming at this time in our lives, because I really see the Holy Spirit behind that, trying to solidify for young Catholics and those who are questioning what the Eucharist is all about. For me, I noticed that the practice of the faith, even if I was there under obligation as mm-hmm. a young person, mm-hmm. It's sort of you faith it until you make it.
Yep.
Like, it's
famous
not
saying.
Fake it. It's
yep.
just faith it in faith that your parents are leading you in the right direction, and that verse of, you know, lead them in the way that they should go so that they can return to it after. It's so true.
There is a huge struggle going on in many Catholics, myself included. You know, it comes and goes, and it's like, oh, what am I going to behave today or not? Thinking about faith itself, and we're told faith is a gift. You can't just say, God, give it to me. He offers it. You have to accept it, but you can't expect your faith to answer all your questions. That's the issue. Is Jesus in that little piece of bread, what used to be bread, or is he not? Your mind can't answer that question. And if you're still clinging to that, that is a gift. The fact that you are still clinging to that belief is a gift. And praise God, he wants to give it, but you have to say yes, right?
Absolutely. That's how I got into a deeper conversion of my faith, was asking the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Had a crisis point as a young person. My first marriage ended in divorce. And it was at that point where I had all these questions, like, can I even still be Catholic? And has the Lord abandoned me for making certain choices? And so it's the asking of those questions where you're really testing your faith. And I remember specifically saying, Lord, you got to show me that this is the right way. Like, if you want me to be Catholic, prove to me that this is the one true faith.
Hmm.
And through
it's
a series.
Jason's fleece.
I know, it is. It's the fleece, throwing out the fleece. And for me, he has been there every step of the way, proving to me over and over, even allowing me to do things that most people would, you know, like, oh, you went to a non-Catholic community to learn about the Holy Spirit for a little while. Yeah, but I still continued at Mass and mm-hmm, receiving mm-hmm. the grace from the sacraments. But for him to come back and affirm through that experience, yes, even after experiencing that, now I see the richness and beauty of our Catholic faith with renewed eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the things that the Lord leads you through makes your parents be like, what are you doing? You know,
yeah.
You're looking more like a prodigal, and then he's leading you away. But really, he was firming up for me what I'd already had a familiarity with
mm-hmm.
from my youth. And he was answering that question through the experience of others.
Well, you're very brave to ask him to prove something to you. You know, most of us would go, oh, you know, I better not do that, because if he doesn't, then I won't believe in him anymore. That was really brave.
Thank you. I just didn't want to live a lie.
Yes.
I got to the point where I'd had enough lies in my life,
mm-hmm.
feeling
mm-hmm.
like the world was lying. You know, they tell you, you graduate college, you get married, you have a 401k, you know, insurance, and get a big house, and, you know, have just your two kids, because
yeah.
you don't want to overburden
the population.
Yeah,
how dare you overpopulate, yeah.
And then to find out, you know, it's all lies.
Yeah.
There's a truth out there that God wants you to live, and I was more interested in the truth at that point, so.
I know people have a negative opinion of Catholics who have more than two children, and they'll say it to you in the grocery store. They say, don't you know how to use birth control? You know, if you have three kids, they'll say, don't you know how to use birth control or whatever? They're just so out there in your face teaching things that just aren't true. And it's difficult. It's difficult.
I think it's more of we only know what we're exposed to. So
mm-hmm.
I remember a social worker friend once told me, you know, mama only knows what mama knows. So if there aren't people around her that are willing to speak something new into her life, she's not going to know anything except what her mama showed her or her grandmother.
Oh.
So again, there's
wow.
that, like, having a really good influence, especially for Catholic families, being the one to set that model, it's so important.
So now you're making my mind go to all kinds of places I'd rather not go. But we're saying half of the children growing up in this country now maybe didn't have a good mother influence or a good father influence because of divorce, even among Catholics. So we have a bunch of, that's a terrible phrase. We have a population of broken people who don't even know what's missing from their life.
Yeah, I think Deacon could probably talk to this more, but I see it with religious education. You see parents dropping their children off for the sacraments, but they're not taking them to Mass. Like, you got to prioritize and order the faith accordingly. And the Mass and the Eucharist are central.
Yes.
So if you're not giving them the Eucharist, if you're not receiving the grace of the Eucharist
yourself,
yeah, then you're out of order, and you're trying to fill a pail with holes in it.
Yeah. There's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza. I teach my little kids. There's a sense in some of the sacraments, like First Communion especially, and Confirmation, that it's more of a social event in the life of your Catholic child than it has deep meaning for the child or for you. We're trying really hard to overcome that in Catholic education. But still, unless the parents are coming to the classes, it's difficult. Now, I don't know how it is down here at the cathedral or wherever you guys worship, but at St. Helens, we have parent classes that take place the same time the student classes do. So the parents opt to come, and we start with the basics. My moral Catholic teaching, what's right and what's wrong. So there is effort being made to educate the parents, and I think that's really important.
Yeah, I think it really depends on the parish community as to how those are developing.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it where, we're out here giving free coffee and donuts, trying to get them to come in and have the parent meeting while their child's in CCD, and they're preferring to go in their car for the hour and be on their phone.
Yeah.
So it's not like the effort's not there. It's just sometimes the response is just not there, and that's sad to see, but we keep praying. That's what we're hoping, through encounter we've seen. It seems to be more in the later years of parenting where your child has gone further and further from the faith that you start to get desperate.
Yeah, you start to see what they're looking
and
at,
and then
on
they
want to
come and learn. Then they want to come back and do the class.
How can I reverse this trend? Yeah. Deacon, I'm going to ask you to grab the mic from Kim. Kim, you're awesome. You've been through a lot, and I'm really. I also am a product of a failed first marriage, so I know what that's like. And coming back to the Lord, praise God. Okay, so this is Deacon Pete Del Valle. Did I say it right?
Del Valle.
Okay, Deacon, tell us where you are serving, and then we want to hear your faith story, just like we heard Kim's.
Absolutely. I was ordained about 9 years ago, and the bishop assigned me to St. Therese de Lisieux in Wellington, Florida.
Yes.
And I am actually a founding parishioner of St. Therese. The first Mass was on July 1st, 2000, and I was present at that first Mass. And
Who's your pastor there?
Right now it's Father David Downey.
Oh, I know Father David. He was in St. Helens when he was doing
his pastoral year.
Right. And I interviewed him on television.
He
told us that he was a wealthy guy, and he gave it all away for the Lord.
Yes, yes, yes. I believe that.
Yes.
I believe that. He's our third pastor that mm-hmm. we've had. We just jump on the thing with the parents.
Yes.
We are struggling with getting out, teaching our parents and getting our parents to get out of their cars and put their phones away. It's been a real struggle for us. We have found that the parents are telling us how we're supposed to teach the children, and we shouldn't be worrying about them. But I have an interesting story. This week, I approached a young lady that I've known since she was probably about 12 or 13, and she has fallen away from the faith. So she came, interestingly enough, she came to the parish to get a Mass card because a friend passed away.
Okay.
So that to me was hopeful, that she still
believes
had that
there's
connection.
Value in that. Yes, yes.
So I start speaking with her, and I said, okay, well, when was the last time you went to Mass? She couldn't tell me when the last time she went to Mass.
How old was she now at the time?
She is now 25.
Okay, so that's like 10 years since you saw her.
Right.
Okay.
So she, I said, so are you going anywhere to church? And she goes, no,
I'm surprised she didn't say, that's none of your business. You know, I'm here for a mass card. Goodbye.
Yeah. Well, she thinks, she sees me as her dad, so I don't think she would.
Okay, okay, good, good.
Hopefully she won't ever say that to me. But I was surprised as our conversation continued. She told me she doesn't believe in the Bible any longer.
Hmm.
And she just feels that the church is looking down upon her. So I questioned her. I said, well, where's that coming from? Did anyone say that to you? No, I just feel this. But I think a lot of our, I don't know if that's Gen X or Gen Z or whatever the heck they call that. but I think that these young folks are overanalyzing things and they come to conclusions, but it's not based on any kind of logic. Well, the way we ended up the conversation, because I didn't want to get into, I never force my faith on anyone. I will expose my faith, but I will never impose my faith on you. So the way we left off was, I said, okay, you don't want to come to a church, a place of holiness. Take 1 hour, 60 minutes, one day a week. I don't care what day, and I don't care what hour. It could be 2 o'clock in the morning. And just sit down, just you and God. And I want you to just ask the Lord to send the Spirit down to you and to just to speak to you. And then after you've asked the Lord that, shut up and just listen.
She agreed to that?
She agreed to that.
Wow.
She looked me in the eye and she promised that she would do that.
Wow.
Maybe not 2 o'clock in the morning, but that she would do that. And my prayer is that the Lord, and I know the Lord's going to do this, the Lord is going to touch her heart.
Oh, so we don't get to hear the end of the story?
Not yet, because this just happened yesterday, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yesterday.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. All right.
Yes. So I will keep you filled in on
beautiful,
that one.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
But I was born and raised in New York City, in Brooklyn.
Oh, so you have a new bishop there in Brooklyn.
I am not aware of that. Is that right?
He's a surfer and a rapper.
Is that
and
right?
And a really awesome guy. He came and did a talk at the Steubenville Youth Conference.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's awesome.
Well, I got to move back.
I'll have to think
that's
of
pretty cool.
I can't think of his name, but everybody loves him.
Well, no, I'm going to research him. I had no idea.
He's the youngest bishop in the United States
is
and the newest
right?
one.
Is that right?
Yep.
Oh, no, I will be researching him by the end of the day. I come from both my parents are devout Catholics. My parents have something that is a true gift. They have blind faith. They passed away. Both of them have passed away, and they're in heaven.
So they don't need faith anymore.
No. They know the truth 100%. But they had blind faith. They did not need the books to know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've gone through 4.5 years of theology and stuff.
Right.
My mom and dad, they did not need that because that is God. The Holy Communion, the Eucharist, that is Jesus. There was nobody can get that out of their head because they believed it 100%. I am one of seven. My mom would bring all seven of us to Mass.
So you're one of those families that takes up the whole pew.
That's right. That's right. And that's why when I hear these families and they take turns coming to Mass because they have two children, I would say, well, that's ridiculous. Just teach your child to behave in Mass, right? My mom, she wouldn't, you know, during Mass, she would just give us that look.
Oh, so you didn't get Cheerios therapy?
Oh, no Cheerios, no Cheerios, no. We got the look. You know, she would basically march us in, lift, right, lift. You know, it was that kind of a militant type of mentality. But my parents, especially my dad was the gentlest man that I've ever met in my life. He is my mentor. He is my model. And I'm getting a little choked up thinking about it. My dad, just a great man. And it's because he knew Jesus.
Wow.
And he tried so hard to be as much as he could to be like Jesus.
Wow.
And my mom was the same way. So
were they still alive when you were ordained?
No, unfortunately not. Okay. I was
in the seminary. But they know. They know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they know.
My mom had five boys, and I'm the closest to a priest that she got. She figured at least one of us would become a priest, but it didn't. I'm the closest to a priest that she got.
But she didn't get the little cloth on her hands when she was buried, right?
Right,
darn.
Exactly.
That's what she was hoping for.
Exactly. So, So yeah, they passed away in 2009, and then my mom about 10 months later.
Mm-hmm.
But my faith comes from them.
Okay.
My faith comes from them. Interestingly enough, the Cusillo played a huge role with my parents. My mom was always faithful, but my dad wasn't so faithful. And he went through Cusillo in the very early 1960s.
Oh, wow.
And both my parents lived their Cusillo fourth day to the day they died. And it's interesting because the way I remember my dad and the way my older sister remembers my dad is a little different.
Really? Were you like the youngest child?
I am number 6 of 7.
So you were sort of spoiled, not totally spoiled.
Yeah, well, no, when you're number 6, you're not spoiled at all. It's the first and the seventh.
You guys go under the radar. You were under the radar.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right. That's right. So that's my life. I joined the military when I was 19. I went into the United States Marine Corps. And though I did not go to Mass on Sunday, I don't feel like it was wrong not to go to Mass on Sunday.
Yeah, my eyebrows are up. You guys can't see this. I went, whoa, you didn't go to Mass.
The Holy Spirit was always with me. I didn't realize I walked that fine razor's edge. You know, when you're in the military and you go into a port, there are some not so good things around.
We can all imagine.
Yeah. And
maybe we can't imagine.
Hopefully you cannot imagine. But the Holy Spirit kept me on the light side mm-hmm. of that razor's edge. And what I didn't realize until years after I was discharged is that I kept many of my buddies also on the light side of the razor's edge.
So they sent some kind of leadership for good in you.
In good, yes. And at that time, I didn't realize that.
Truth, beauty, and goodness. Yeah, yep.
Absolutely. There amen. Praise God. Praise God.
Okay, so you were in the military. Did you see live action? Did you?
No,
I was. And did you get shot at and all that sort of thing?
No, not with a bullet, no. No, thank God I was during peacetime.
Okay, all right.
So I spent 4 years. And when I left the Marine Corps, I wanted to raise a family. I wanted to start a family, raise a family. But I just didn't want to do it in New York City. I love the suburbs. So my brother lived here in Florida. So we came to visit. And I looked at my wife and I said, this is it. We're moving down. And
all right.
You know, we packed up the old van and we headed down.
Were you a hippie van? Did you have a hippie van?
No. Well, you see, I have no hair, so no, I'm not a hippie, no.
So you can't, and did you move right into Palm Beach? And we're down to 6 minutes, so you need to get through your
diaconate. Yes, I will get through it.
Get through your diaconate in 6 minutes.
I actually moved into Broward County, and then a few years later, we moved to Palm Beach. And I ended up going to St. Rita's in Wellington.
Yes, and Carol Raza.
Oh,
dynamic.
That's my buddy.
Dynamic.
That's my best friend.
Yeah.
She's literally my best friend. So it was announced that a new parish was going to open up, St. Therese, and that we should, if we lived within those boundaries, we should go there. So I called the pastor, the future pastor there, and I had a wonderful conversation with him. And what I didn't realize was that the Holy Spirit was touching my heart and pulling me towards St. Therese.
So you were like the fish on the line.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. And then several years later, I walked in for confession, to have confessions, sacrament of reconciliation. And before I could I knew what was happening, the words out of my mouth was, Father, I have a desire to be a deacon.
And your wife never heard this. This was the first time it came out.
Yes.
Under the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
no doubt.
Yes.
Wow. In confession.
In confession, yep. And five years later, I was ordained.
Is your wife okay with this? I know they have to be okay.
Oh, my wife is the perfect deacon's wife.
Okay.
No, my wife is a convert. She grew up in a Jewish household.
Oh, wow.
It's interesting. She grew up in an Italian neighborhood. And so she would, from public school, the parishes would send buses to pick up the Catholic kids and take them to CCD, faith formation. My wife
used
to go with them.
What a world. She would go?
She would go with them, yeah.
Oh.
She's actually, even before she converted, she was a better Catholic than most of her friends growing up, which is interesting.
Okay, so you're here in Palm Beach Gardens. You live in Palm Beach Gardens? No, you live
in
Wellington.
Wellington, yes.
Wellington. So this is a little bit of a drive for you to come over here.
Yes.
Okay, and you are are you serving as a deacon at St. Therese?
I serve as a deacon at St. Therese. I was also appointed the director for the diaconate formation about 2 months ago.
Oh, for the diocese.
For the diocese.
So you work with Father Daniel?
I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Father Daniel is the director of vocations,
yes,
for the diocese. Mm-hmm. He was with Father Rick George only for 2 years, and
yes,
they yanked him. We were so mad. Everybody loved him.
I would be angry,
yes,
too.
Yes. So now he also has a sister and a consecrated virgin. What,
yes,
what are their names? Sister.
It's Simi.
Simi is the consecrated virgin.
What is it?
Sister Jadwiga.
Yes, Sister,
okay,
Jadwiga. Right,
I don't know if,
right,
I could pronounce that.
Yes.
Sister,
so they
I'll call
they have
a sister.
That's a new thing to have three people in,
yes,
that,
absolutely,
office reaching out to all different kinds,
yes,
of Catholic living.
Absolutely,
so that's beautiful.
Absolutely. And,
okay,
all three are very dynamic.
Yes. Yes.
Catholics.
Okay, so as a deacon, are you the only deacon at St. Therese right now?
There are actually four of us right now.
The parish has only been there since 2000 or so, and you have four deacons.
Yes, and I have three men that I'm trying to get into the program.
Well, you're hardly ever going to have to preach.
That's okay. That's all right.
So
I'm more into action than preaching. So.
All right. So we're asking you to consider talking about a couple of things, and now we've used up, you know, the first section of our radio interview, but we want to talk about Curcio. Not a lot, because you mentioned it. Both of you are Curciistas, right?
Yes.
And so am I. And so that's a powerful, powerful thing that came to this country from far away and has grown. And then from, maybe not from that, but related to that in some ways, is the Encounter School of Ministry. So we have two big topics to cover when we come back from the break. Once again, everybody, I'm in Palm Beach Gardens at the Pastoral Center for the Diocese of Palm Beach, and I'm speaking with Kim Engel and Deacon Pete Del Valle about their walk with the Holy Spirit, because both of them are involved in something new, and I'm just gonna say what I know about it, and then you guys can correct me before we go to break. The Encounter School of Ministry, this is how I came across it. I don't even know how I came across it. I saw an ad somewhere. I don't know where I saw it. It was in our bulletin. Did you guys publish in bulletins for all the different parishes? And it said Encounter School of Ministry. And I thought, wow, I'd love to learn anything I can about this, about ministry. And then I discovered two things about it. Number one, it's very charismatic. I'm using that word. A lot of people don't want to use that word anymore because people have in their mind that that's old people, and most of them don't meet anymore, or they're moved on to heaven or whatever. But it's also a 2-year commitment. And I said, this is some serious study here. So you had an intensive, a 4-night class that you could come to and just sample what's going to be happening during the 2 years, which I attended, and I hate the word blown away, but I can't think of a better one right now. I was just amazed at how at home I felt, and how I knew the language you were using and the songs. And so, Kim, you have 1 minute to promote, and then we're going to talk about it in detail when we come back from the break.
Yeah, I think we did our best to get it in the bulletin. Getting the word out has been the hardest part of our mission, just letting people know that we're here and what we're about, because most people are the same. What is Encounter? Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that you use the word charismatic. We actually, as a ministry, see ourselves as both charismatic and traditional. And there's a lovely YouTube Transformation Night talk that's on their page with Ryan Malley. Mm-hmm. And he goes into the Aquinas, understanding behind traditionalism and the Pope's quotes on why we need more of the Holy Spirit. And the blend of charismatic and traditional through the eyes of the church is so beautiful to just listen to. If you've never heard it before, I encourage you to go check that out on Encounter Ministries' YouTube page.
And they're looking for Transformation Talk?
It's a Transformation Night Talk by Ryan Mahle, Mahle. But it's also on our webpage if you go to encounterschool.org /Palm Beach.
Okay.
You'll see it scroll at the bottom. We actually have it there, because that's our number one question, is are you charismatic? So we get people who are like not wanting the charismatic, and then we have people who are really hungry for that traditional. So.
All right. We're going to talk about that some more when we come back from the break. This is Carolyn Dean. You're listening to Living Catholic on Divine Mercy Radio. We'll be right back.